within the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church among the liberal groups that are within both of them. You have some Catholics, people who call themselves Catholics, but also call themselves witches and are getting involved in Wicca and the New Age movement. You've got Protestants, people who wear crosses that just don't believe the book anymore. The sad thing is I'm not just talking about the people in the pews. I'm talking about some Catholic priests and some Protestant ministers. Don't believe the Bible is God's word. Don't believe Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. Don't believe Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. The apostasy is in our midst. The increase of lawlessness, verse 12. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. So the increase in lawlessness and love growing cold. Lawlessness. Look at the gang violence that's going on right now. I mean, it's bad enough when you got grown men are thugs, but when you got 10-year-old kids in Florida ruthlessly in cold blood killing tourists just because they got something that these kids want, lawlessness is increasing. And then love growing cold. That's that same newspaper, Bremen and Son, on page A1, the front page, talks about a lady, about the abortion pill, the pill you can take to do your own abortion. You don't have to go to a doctor anymore. They're experimenting with that. They talk about a lady who goes from a pro-life overachiever, so she was supposed to be pro-life, to a nurse's aide. Then she becomes a nurse's aide, gets real busy, and then she said, well, now it's the only choice, the abortion pill. So she took the abortion pill and killed her baby. But she mentioned that she was very pro-life. And she said, if you're not mature enough to have a child, then give it up for adoption. That was her message. And I think that's a good message. But it's different now, the paper says. She knows she could not give up the child that she carried the pregnancy to term. And a baby now in her life is unthinkable. She's an overachiever, carrying accelerated class load and working 25 hours a week in a pizza joint. She's pretty athletic, clear-spoken, and at age 21, she's focused on the future. So that was her. Those are her reasons. She said, I could never give up my child for adoption. So what she's basically saying is, I'll just kill the baby. I'll take a pill and it kills the baby. Love is growing cold. Love, you know, men are aggressive, and men have known, you know, most of the thugs on death row are men. Even in good societies, you got ruthless, cold-blooded men. But when mothers are being so fooled by the government and the leaders of a nation that mothers are killing their own daughters or allowing their own daughters to be killed by a professional doctor within the establishment of the state, when the love of a mother grows cold in a nation, it's time to watch out. That's the last stage. The last stage for the nation of Israel. God predicted it and it happened. When they were surrounded by the Babylonian troops, they surrounded Jerusalem, and the people were starving to death. Mothers, Jewish mothers, were boiling their own babies and eating their own babies. When the love of a mother grows cold in a nation, when the mothers in a nation, when their love is growing cold, that nation is like this close to judgment. But we see the increase of lawlessness and love growing cold. But verse 14 is a real key verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. So Jesus is saying everything else is leading up to the end, but that final thing is when the gospel is preached to all nations. Now, we've got missionary work that is going on all over the globe, and many different denominations have it as their goal that by the year 2000, they want every person on the planet Earth to be preached to. But let me just show you how close we're getting This is the Northwest Christian Journal. They usually hand them out at the Christian bookstore. You can get them for free over there. And it's a Christian newsletter. In fact, they even had the Christian Motorcycle, CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association on the front page of this particular one, and probably some of the people that are here are probably in this picture. But right underneath that it says, Billy Graham's mission takes gospel to the world. Let me just read the second paragraph of this. It says, the largest crusade event in Graham's ministry career brought the gospel to more than 1 billion people in 185 countries. Now, when they first said that, I had lost track on about 159 or 160. I didn't even know there was 185 countries in the world. Through the use of satellite feeds to more than 3,000 transmission sites around the globe, translators interpreted Graham's message into 116 languages. See, he preached in Puerto Rico. He preached English. He'd preach a sentence, then a guy would interpret it into Spanish for the Puerto Rican population. And while it was being filmed, when the Puerto Rican guy is interpreting the message, people all over the world were interpreting that message via satellite to people in 185 different countries. That right there, in just one shot, may be the closest we ever came to giving the gospel to every nation. But the key is, Jesus says, hey, when the gospel is preached to all nations, then the end has come. We are very, very close. We are very close. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 and 22. God predicts this about 550 years before Christ was even born. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, and they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. God says he's going to take the Jews from all the nations and bring them into their homeland in the last days. Now then in chapters 38 and 39, Ezekiel predicts what sounds like the Russia and her allies invading the nation of Israel, which is right before the second coming of Christ. And so what we have, in fact, even in Isaiah, I can't recall the exact passage, but God says in the last days, he's going to regather the Israelites a second time from among the nations, bring them back into their homeland, and then he predicts the return of Christ and Christ ruling on earth, the millennial kingdom. Well, this is the second time. 1948 on up to now, this is the second time that they've been regathered, and there's Jews still flocking into the land right now. And so Israel is a nation again, 1948. And they did not even own their nation when Jesus was here. For over 2,500 years, the Jewish people retained their national identity even though they didn't have any land. They lived in everybody else's nation. In the early 1940s, everybody thought Adolf Hitler is going to rule the world and the Jews are going to be wiped out. He killed 6 million Jews. By 1948, the Third Reich was history, and God's chosen people were back in the land. You know, when you look at the history of Israel, by the way, there ain't no way those people still be here if they weren't the chosen people of God. But Israel became a nation again. I'm going to just throw out a few more. We don't have time to look at these other passages. But the United Nations. Jesus, throughout the scriptures, it talks about the day. Revelation 13, verse 7, talks about the Antichrist having authority over every nation, every person. The Antichrist is going to rule the world, a one world government. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. It's real clear. All nations will join together and then will do battle against Israel. So the United Nations seems to be a clue that the return of Christ is near, as all the nations are uniting. The revived Roman Empire. For the Roman Empire to be revived, what you need is Europe to be unified into one empire. Napoleon tried to reunify Europe. He failed. Hitler tried to reunify Europe. He failed. The Antichrist is going to try to reunify Europe, and he's not going to fail. That will be the revived Roman Empire, which only Jesus Christ will topple at his return. That's predicted in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. And right now we have the United States of Europe. If you go from France into Spain, it's no longer like going from the trade barriers have been removed and all. It's almost the same as going from New York to New Jersey. It's like two different states in one empire rather than separate nations. And all they got to do is just put their military might behind that. One common military, and you've got the full-blown revived Roman Empire. That's right around the corner. The rise of nuclear power as well. Don't get me wrong. The strongest free nation on Earth should be the strongest nation on Earth. Otherwise, you know, China, Russia, Iraq, Iran, nations like that will be just tearing other people to shreds. We need to be strong. At the same time, whatever destructive potential man has, eventually he uses it. And the reason why we haven't had a lot of nuclear wars going on is because the U.S. had so much that nobody wanted to mess with us. But the more we get presidents in office and congresses that want us to cut back and put blind faith in the United Nations to take care of us, the weaker we get, the more chance that some of these Looney Tune countries are going to start pushing buttons and we're going to have nuclear exchanges. In Revelation 6, verses 7 to 8, there's a prediction there that one-fourth of mankind will be destroyed by certain judgments in the last days. And one of those judgments is wars. Then talking about the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 9, verses 13 to 16, it says one-third of the people alive on earth get wiped out because of that. Now, no matter how many diseases, no matter how many wars we've had, mankind continues, the population of people on earth continues to increase at the same geometric rate every few years. So the population never goes back. The last time to go back when the world's population went backwards was probably Noah's flood. Well, the Bible says, okay, let's say you had 100 people, just to make it easy with math. If one-fourth died first and then one-third, one-fourth of 100 is 25. Now you got 75 left. Then if one-third more die, that's 25 out of the last 75, so now you got 50 left. Well, you started with 100. You put those two passages in Revelation together, and it tells you that for some reason in the last 3.5 years of the history of the planet Earth before Jesus Christ returns, one out of every two people on the planet Earth are going to die, and that's not counting natural deaths and martyrs. Now, how can we take the world's population and have it cut in half? I think the nuclear power that we have today, once buttons start getting pushed, I think that's going to... You read in Revelation all about drinking water being contaminated and that type of thing. Nuclear power could be another clue. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us in the last days, people will be listening to the doctrines of demons. With the present interest in channeling that is going on with Shirley MacLaine and Jay-Z Knight and all these people, right now, spiritism has a good name. People are being possessed by demons. They're calling them, they're saying they're other entities. They're saying they're nice spirit guides and other demons. They're being possessed by demons, and they're teaching doctrines. And people are accepting it. It amazes me. If you don't believe this stuff is going on, just listen to on KVI. Listen on Sunday nights to the program. What's it, Art Bell? His program is Dreamland. Believe me, there's a lot of dreaming that goes on there, and it's he calls it dreamland, he ought to call it nightmare, because all he's teaching is the doctrines of demons. The mark of the beast technology, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, tells us, let me read that passage. It's a scary passage, but sometimes we need to be scared, especially when we're asking ourselves the question, are we ready? Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18. And he causes all, the small and the great. This is the false prophet, the Antichrist, right-hand man, forces everybody to receive the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on the right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. I don't know if you ever seen the universal product code, the barcode, that, you know, you get a box of Cheerios, you don't know how much it costs. Got no price on it whatsoever. You walk up to the cashier, the lady hits it with a laser gun, and it registers, you know, $4.99 or whatever. That's because she went over that little barcode. Well, every two lines is a symbol for a different number, but they don't tell you the two thin lines in the front, the two thin lines in the middle, and the two thin lines at the end, both have the value of six. So no matter whether you buy a box of Cheerios or a notebook, or a box of rice, they're all on a 666 code. Then the individual numbers in between, where they do list the numbers underneath it, that tells you what that particular product is and how much it costs. But they're all on a 666 code. Some people have recommended a Social Security card for a global government throughout the world, where we would have the 666, and then our area code and our Social Security number would be the other numbers inside. So we've got that kind of technology. But now the Lalonde brothers, also in this book, The Mark of the Beast, on page 88, talk about the technology, the advances. The greatest problem, they're talking about these credit cards. Go to a cashless society with these credit cards. The greatest problem facing cashless planners is making sure that the person with a smart card, by the way, they've gone to microchips now, little tiny microchip that can contain every bit of information that a suppressive government would need to know about you on a little microchip. The greatest problem facing cashless planners is making sure the person with a smart card in his pocket is the person to whom it rightfully belongs. So their big fear is, well, what if Phil Fernandez steals John Gardner's card? But the smart card is not really a card at all. All that is smart about it is the tiny microchip glued to it. The rest of the plastic card is just a handy carrying case and a Madison Avenue-like attempt to make us all comfortable by giving us this new technology packaged in the same plastic cards we've become used to. But what if you simply took the microchip from the card and implanted it under the skin? Presto. You no longer need all these sophisticated biometric devices. They're talking about devices that could tell your fingerprints to make sure it's yours, or a device that would take your picture and try to match it with a regular picture of you. You wouldn't need that if you had it under the skin. You don't need to verify that the person with the card is the rightful owner. The person is the card. This technology, the only reason why they haven't brought this on us already is because most people aren't ready for it, and so they're trying to get us ready for it. Would have done a number on me. I haven't touched cash in years. Everything is either a credit card or a check. I just don't like carrying cash around with me, and so there's going to be a lot of people. You go, there's some people like in their 70s or 80s, cash is all they deal with. They don't trust anything else. I wish I was more like that, but when this stuff comes down, we're going to know the mark of the beast is among us. They also mention, we are witnessing the development of an international microchip-based system capable of tracking every animal on the face of the earth. So what they're doing right now, a dog gets lost, and they say no problem. They scan the leg, and they find out where the dog's owners live. because they're putting microchips into people's pets. This is done in America, Europe, all over the world. By its very nature, a system built to monitor all the world's animals is a de facto test for a system capable of doing the same thing with people. They're also talking about not only making this a number so you can buy or sell, but also putting things like this in cars so we can know the locations of people's cars, wherever they're going. They could monitor every transaction you make so they could find out if you own a weapon or not. But the Mark of the Beast technology, the Mark of the Beast is not yet here, but the technology is. All they have to do is feel that most people will give them a thumbs up and they can put this thing on a scene. This stuff's already in the stores. I mean, what's the difference between scanning a box of Cheerios or scanning somebody's forehead or their right hand? The stuff is here. The technology is here. And then, of course, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Peter said in the last day there would be mockers who would mock the sign, who would say that, you know, where's the sign of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, everything continued. There's been no intervention by God, they claim. And we see those mockers in our midst. So 17 clues that the return of Christ is near. False Christ and false prophets, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, persecution of Christians, apostasy, the increase in lawlessness, the love of people growing cold, gospel preached to all nations, Israel becoming a nation again, the United Nations heading towards a one-world government, the revived Roman Empire, nuclear power, the doctrines of demons, the mark of the beast technology, and the end-time mockers. 17 different clues. Am I saying that Jesus is going to definitely come in our generation? No. I can't say that. But when I look at these 17 clues, there's a good chance that he will. And so I've got to ask myself, am I ready? You've got to ask yourself, are you ready? Jesus Christ could return in our lifetime. Now, there are some signs yet to be fulfilled. The 7-year peace treaty of Daniel 9. The Russian invasion of Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39. The temple hasn't yet been rebuilt. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says it has to be rebuilt because the Antichrist has to sit in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then the Mark of the Beast instituted Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18. Those signs are yet to be fulfilled. But Jesus said it's time to head to the hills when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. In other words, when the Antichrist goes in the temple, proclaims himself to be God, and then they put the image of the Antichrist in the temple, then it's time to flee. That's when people will know for sure. But right now, we've got 17 clues, and we ought to get ourselves ready. And I'm not saying store food. You want to store food? You want to build, get ready to go camping in the woods and stuff like that? Those are good ideas. But I'm saying be spiritually ready first. That's the priority. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because you might meet him on this earth. You might not just die of old age and then go and meet him up there. He might come down here and meet you face to face. And so the question comes up, are you ready? Let's close with one passage, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 26 to 31. By the way, the Christian church has different positions about whether or not Christ is going to snatch away Christians before the tribulation period. There are good, godly men on both sides of that issue. My understanding of the Scripture is that Christians will be here for the tribulation. My good brother and colleague in the work of the Lord, Harry, he believes will be snatched away before the tribulation period. Study the Scriptures, decide for yourself. I hope Harry's right. I really hope Harry's right. I don't want to go through this stuff. But there is a debate within the church as to whether or not Christians will go through the tribulation period. Matthew 24, verses 26 to 31. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, as the Christ, do not go forth. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. What he's saying is, if they tell you, oh, there's the Christ, There's God in the flesh. There's the Messiah. There's the Savior of mankind over there in that hidden chamber over there in the wilderness. Let's go and meet him. Jesus says, don't listen to him. Because just as it's obvious where the dead body is when you see the vultures hovering over it, so too you'll know when I come back because you'll see the signs. You'll see the signs of the times pointing to it. And then he says it's going to be as obvious as the lightning striking in the east and flashing to the west. It's going to be obvious. Because of verses 29 to 31. This is how we know it's the real. You can't duplicate this. This is a work of God, period. Satan and all his demons with all their power can't duplicate this. Verses 29 to 31. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Don't hang on to this world. I'm not saying don't work hard, don't take care of your family, don't be all that God's called you to be. But just recognize, even if you go out today and buy a brand new car, don't make that car an idol. Because when this planet goes down the tubes, that car's going down with it. Don't get all caught up in the temporary things of this world. Be all that God called you to be, but recognize this temporary stuff is just that, it's temporary. You've got to be ready. Sometimes we get all caught up in our careers or our ministries, and we make an idol out of that. Recognize Jesus Christ. There are 17 clues that seem to indicate that the return of Christ is near. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? To stand before your Master and to report to Him that you were a faithful servant? Sometimes I read about passages like this and it scares me. But sometimes I need to be scared. Sometimes even a preacher needs to get a little encouragement from the Lord. Needs to get a little bit of fear. And needs to recognize the importance of the ministry that God has given me and the ministry that God has given you. We need to be ready. We need to live as if Jesus Christ could return tonight. We need to live in such a way that we will not be ashamed of what we did and what we're doing when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, face to face. When we look into His eyes, will He say to us, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, you know, we could fake it, Lord. We could walk around and shine our light in the light over and over again and really make ourselves look like spiritual giants. But the time comes when we go home and we got to look at ourselves in the mirror. Time comes when we got to recognize and admit that we're not the spiritual giants that we pretend to be. That maybe we ought to be shining our light a little bit more in the darkness, like you called us to do, rather than just showing off and shining our light in the light. Maybe we ought to go out there and share our faith a little bit more. Maybe we ought to study the Word more. Maybe we ought to be kinder to people and show them what the love of Jesus is all about by sharing that love with them. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would take seriously the warnings that you gave us about your return. That we would recognize that the number one issue facing us is the number one issue that has faced all mankind throughout history. And that is the question, what is your view of Jesus? Do you just know about him, or do you know him personally? And so I pray, Lord, that each and every person in this room would ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. That they would admit that they're sinners who can't save themselves, that only through Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and then conquered death for us by rising from the dead on the third day, only through Jesus can we be forgiven. And so I pray, Lord, that each person in this room would worship your Son Jesus as God, would trust in him as their Savior, and would follow him as their Lord. Lord, I just pray that we would live each and every day allowing your Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us and to lead us, so that each and every day we would be ready in case that was the day when your Son would return. Lord, we love you, and we long to see you on that day when you return. Please guide us, lead us, and help us to be all that you called us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.